You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Such a gorgeous track. E Takuhuia Kai Manoa by Te Kahu, who we have in the studio. Kia ora, Em, how are you?
Atamari e, hua ma.
Hey, it's so nice to have you in here. Te Kahu is your incredible reo Māori project. Other people may know you in the Thea realm when you're making your awesome as pop music. And it's just great to have you in the studio. I always love when you come in for a chat.
Oh my
and
gosh, thank you.
Especially today because you've brought us in a brand new song as well. How's it been?
Oh my gosh, I have. I'm honestly so excited. I was just saying before about how blessed I feel that you support my music and my waiata reo Māori, which is really cool. And this waiata is very, very special. And I'm just stoked to be able to, drop it.
So we have talked about this before, but why did you decide you wanted to start Te Kahu as a project separate from Thea and separate from what you're doing in that realm? What was the reason you wanted to do this?
Pretty much just to protect my nanny's ears from my hardcore riot girl shit that happens in Thea. So that my dear nannies, my sweet nannies, who, just long for, nostalgic music, don't have to listen to this bitch, don't fear, and all the stuff that I do with, my kind of more political stuff. So that was effectively it. And because I just wanted to separate the two and I suppose just give more spotlight to each separately.
Yeah, yeah.
But also it's like, it's still me for both of them, but I just wanted that home so that I could hardcore, like, go out on the visuals for Te Kahu. And, you know, the whole project, it literally means, as most of you probably know, the hawk. And it's, you know, named after my nanny, Rangirara. And so pretty much everything, you know, kind of honours that old school craft of songwriting for our people. And visually, you know, I try and just incorporate a lot of Māori designers and the old school vibe. So that's pretty much why I separated them.
It's such a gorgeous project. And I think that it's interesting that you say that this is not your political project, because I think there is like a politics to this, which is maybe also just that lived experience thing coming through as well, because your day job is teaching reo Māori when you're not being a badass musician as well. How do you feel like bringing this into a pop space or into like a more mainstream music space? Does it feel exciting for you working in this way with reo Māori, like waiata?
Yeah, true. I mean, I guess like, because I've been composing in te reo, like, actually I was writing in te reo before my songs in Te Reo Pākehā got released. So I guess, I don't know, it's like, I don't even necessarily think of it. I guess now that you're saying it, it is sort of in more of a mainstream space, but I was kind of just, you know, thinking that I'm just doing it for, I guess, me and my people, and thinking, well, you know, and I think you're right. Like, I think in itself, just being a wahine Māori and composing and releasing in te reo at this time in more like an old school way, and not even really pandering necessarily to that pop sound or that whole idea, and you know that you have to like modernize te reo and waiata te reo Māori. I'm like, it's No. Why not? You can do that, but why not just celebrate the beauty that it is? And
totally.
And, you know, because I feel like that's also missing from the narrative, is that really kind of, I don't know, just that old school tenderness.
Yeah.
That is so often, you know, we're just seeing the angry Māori kind of whole rhetoric and stuff. And so I kind of feel like, yeah, I guess I'm just doing it for me and my people, but in turn, because of the sound, then I feel like non-Māori can also appreciate it, and like all the aunties and stuff going, oh, this sounds so old school. This sounds like what I grew up with, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And how have you drawn on that? So, because it sounds like you've listened to the sort of music that you grew up with and the waiata that you grew up with.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we've spoken before about how your family has directly influenced this music making in terms of some of the subject matter of what you sing about, and also the reasons for making this music. What are, I guess, your big influences when you were writing for Te Kahu?
Yeah, I suppose, so Kupu Whakarite are like a huge influence on me, which is metaphors effectively. And so each song I, you know, just really enjoy trying to, you know, nod to our traditional whakatauki and pepeha, which are kind of like tribal sayings, and, you know, various, yeah, I guess like metaphors always to do with like the environment and the world around us, pretty much just what our ancestors did. And then I suppose like in terms of the kind of like production and the vibe overall, then it's kind of like a little bit kapa haka, but also a little bit like the music that my kui would always you know, listen to and, and play. And then also her mother, my nanny, Mite Karaka Kukutai, the kind of music that she composed as well, which was, you know, very much like, it almost had like that air of Hawaiian to it, you know, that warmth, which is really amazing. So when I make this, you know, music, I just think of my marae, the old school dances that my kui had, you know, at the halls, and just really trying to elevate the lyricism as much as I can. And then when I like, I always write in te reo Māori first. I'm like, truly, and then I'm aware that because I want people to understand how beautiful it is, it's really hard to like exactly translate, but I try and do as much of an artful English translation as I can so that people can try and grasp the gravity of the beauty of our language.
Hard out. So was your nanny a musician as well, or was that something that you kind of obviously have grown up very much much around in your whānau?
Well, it's really crazy because actually, so it's like my kui is Rangirara, and that's my father's mother. And, you know, I grew up literally, you know, clutching to her skirt strings and just in absolute adoration of her. And she grew up at that time, as you probably all know, about the Tohunga Suppression Act and, you know, just the abuse of our people and schools for speaking their native tongue and everything like that. And anyway, she would return home, and her mother, my nanny Mite, who lived on, you know, the marae, then she was like a renowned composer, and she'd composed this waiata called Kiwiweka, which was written in like the 40s and the 50s. And it was kind of political because it's about, well, it compares wahine Māori, Māori women, to kiwi and weka, which are obviously native manu that can't fly.
Yeah.
And it compares American soldiers, of which there were 40,000 at the time around the Waikato and Tamaki Makaurau region during World War II, to seabirds. So they around, come back, land for a second, obviously have produced like, you know, Māori babies, and then fly off, and like the sadness of that, because, you know, they're flying off possibly to their deaths and things like that. So she wrote that waiata. But it's set to like a really upbeat strum, so it actually is like a party song. So it was really funny. So I had grown up with it at parties, like garage parties. And then by the time I was born, my nanny Mite had passed away. So I never got to meet her, but I grew up in the influence of her waiata, like, you know, and so it was kind of nuts. And so I suppose in that way it was quite special, because my kui always really encouraged me to stand and be that representative at gatherings and sing those waiata, and then to kind of have, you know, I guess that influence from her mother, who I'd never met but understood like the waves.
An amazing legacy to carry on for your family as well. They must be extremely proud of you in both your musical projects. I want to know a little bit more about Ehine E, which is the brand new track that you have brought us in today. What's this song about, and why did you decide to write this one?
So Ehine E kind of roughly translates, it's a beautiful sentiment, but it pretty much translates to, oh girl, kind of like, oh my girl. And so it's Waiata Aroha Takatapui. It's a queer love song. But I've kind of like tried to just generalize, and I mean, I wrote it from a queer perspective. About, you know, the love for women. But I want it to, because lyrically it can be, you know, taken, I suppose, as just a love for any woman. Like, it's not really sexual in its nature. It's more just beautiful and appreciating the beauty of and the strength of woman. So I decided that, you know, I would like to gift it to everyone as more of a love song for any young woman, girl, or wahine who you've loved or who you ever will love. So yeah, that's kind of what's like really special about it. It's such unique in its
song.
Way, you know.
Yeah, it's incredible to, I mean, even if you aren't able to completely understand the kupu in the song, that sentiment comes through so strongly, and also the way you've composed this track as well. It's such an incredible vocal piece that you're doing, which we will hear it in just a moment.
But thank you.
I mean, how do you sort of shift your voice into this space, because it is very different to how you sing in a different you know, especially when you're doing a theatre project, it's totally different, but you even use your voice in a very different way. How do you shift into the Te Kahu space? Is it like a bit of a mental switch for you?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It sort of is a mental switch, because I end up going into, I feel like it's more of like a meditative, gentle, calming space. And a little bit, you know, sad, I guess, because I always make sure that I've got pictures of my kui in studio, and when I write as well, have her in there. But vocally, you're totally right. Like, it definitely sits way higher. Like, my natural voice is, my singing voice is pretty much here, what you hear now.
Yeah.
And like, none of it has been pitch shift. Like, it's literally just all of the high layers and the low layers.
Mm.
So I guess, I don't know, it's just more of like a gentle space, because if you try and sing this like really hearty and or angry, it's just going to really come across, because I feel like when it's only the vocal,
yeah.
This Wyatha in particular, it's literally just guitar. It's three types of guitar, which are bass, electric for these little crystal sounds that you hear in the second verse, and then acoustic for the riff that carries all the way through.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, you definitely do have to get into that emotional space and really feel what you're writing about, because when your vocal is practically the only thing that's there, you can totally hear it if the emotion's not right.
Yeah.
So it's been really, really special, and this one in particular, you know, is very vulnerable and intimate.
Oh, amazing. Well, I'm so looking forward to hearing it. What's next for Te Kahu? Have we got some EPs on the way? What's it going to be looking like further down the track?
I mean, we haven't even announced it, but it's cool. I'm working on it's like, why not just go out, not with EPs, with a full-length album? So I'm working on dropping a record, and in literally 2 weeks I've got the next Wyatha from this project dropping. So, and it's a completely different vibe, and I'm just really looking forward to, you know, playing that to everyone, and then also, you know, even touring, because I've started a beautiful live setup. Pretty much just put all of my friends into a band, which is really cool.
It's literally the best way to do it.
Like, it is so good, because everyone's, you know, been there since you know, I've been in like kind of the writing stage, and I guess has fallen in love with the Wyatha as well. So look out for an amazing live show. It's pretty much
awesome. Watch the space.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's like Joel Mulholland, Delaney Davidson, Shane Carter occasionally when he's not hugely busy with Dimmer and everything, and Hina.
Whoa, that is a bushy lineup. Okay, watch that space for real. That is so exciting. Right, I reckon we better listen to this track now. Em, Te Kahu, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us this morning.
Thank you so much,
Kari. It's always a pleasure to have you in here. This is E Hine E.
Oh, my God.
95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.